Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
So let's talk about some doom and gloom, shall we? Robert Kiyosaki.
You ever heard of that guy?
Yes.
Shout out to the legend. He was legendary at one point.
Rich Dad Poor Dad. He definitely is a legend.
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
I'm not going to deny that.
Cash Flow Quadrant.
For sure. Changed the game. For sure. So he said, let's play the video, shall we? Mike, cue the video.
We're going to hit the March 2024 biggest crash is coming. And the guy. guys with the ETFs and mutual funds and all that, they're going to stand over and bend up and kiss their ass goodbye. I wrote this book here, Who Stole My Pension? In 1974, America said to my generation, you no longer have a pension. You have to have what's called a defined contribution. So my generation, the old guys, I'm 76 years old. We have no money set aside for retirement, and the biggest crash in history is still coming, March 2024. And all those baby boomers who followed their financial planner's advice of the 60-40 equities, 40% bonds, how fucking stupid can you be? And they're going to get toasted March 2024. And I wrote about it in this book here, Rich Dad's Prophecy.
Well, from the words of Mr. Kiyosaki himself, March 2024.
All right.
Oh, Robert.
Wow. March 2024 will be the biggest crash in history. That's a month away. So interesting.
It's a countdown.
He said all the guys with index funds and ETFs are going to get smashed. He said anybody with a 60-40 portfolio, we talked about the 60-40 portfolio, they're going to get screwed.
They've been getting screwed all year. They need an account of OnlyFans.
And he talked about, you know, how the pension system. It's a very
interesting. That's the truth in what he's saying, but
it's yes, for sure. It's always truth mixed with sensationalism, right? Yes. But I mean, okay, this is something that he's somebody who's become a legend in the game of finances, right? So it's interesting to hear him have this take that it's going to all fall apart next month. If you're investing in ETFs, you're going to be screwed. What's your take on this?
This is what happens when you don't diversify businesses and you need a way to stay hot. And people usually do this through clout and sensationalism. The pension fund issue is partially true, but the biggest crash in history, you are meaning to tell me there's no catalyst that is being talked about that is going to lead to a crash that matches or mirrors the Great Depression? Impossible. I'll take the other side of that bet all day. In order for a crash to happen, you need a catalyst for it to happen. So even though the yield curve has been inverted, haven't had a crash. The banking system would have to collapse. They're letting all the small banks die or merge. So the banks that are too big to fail can have safety. Tech is doing incredibly well. AI is doing well. So they're setting up the new sectors that are going to lead the economy. We'll talk about Lilly later. Healthcare is doing incredibly well. So you need a reason for the market to pull back. Also in March, once again, that's when a lot of capital flows into the market and private equity has a lot of money sitting on the sideline to take advantage if a crash does happen. We haven't had the market activate its levers in, I don't know how, maybe 2 years, 3 years. So we haven't even had a 10% drop inside of a day. What is going to cause us to have like a 25% or 30% pullback, which will halt the market? So I don't know. Maybe he was drinking that day. Maybe he was misguided. Maybe he wanted a great headline, but this is not happening. If it does happen, set your levels to 50% off from where we are now by then. But if COVID didn't send us into the greatest downward spiral ever, the COVID-22 that they're pumping out now isn't going to do it. So,
yeah. I mean, what are the indicators, right? Like, shout out to Josh. I was watching him the other day. And JC, shout out to JC when he came on here.
Yeah.
What are the indicators, man? Like, if we look at GDP, if we look at inflation, if we look at the unemployment, if we look at interest rates, which are, you know, everybody has predicted that they, you know, obviously maybe June, could be March, as early as March, but they're going to be going down at maybe five times throughout 2024. What are the indicators that are showing this? I can't see them. And so it's tough, right? Like, and I remember when we sent this in the chat, I was like, that's interesting, because we heard Michael Burry say something similar, and then we haven't heard from him in the past 6 months.
Shout out to Michael.
And now, I mean, we're not taking anything away from
it. That's true.
I mean, I was actually watching somebody was sitting next to me on the plane, was watching The Big Short. And I thought that was interesting, because I thought so. I'm like, remember in August of 23, the recession was supposed to happen in sometime in September or early in January of this year. And we haven't seen it. So some of these predictions, I'm not. What are the indicators there?
And here's the thing: the data can be right, and the Fed can say, "No, we don't want the." They changed the definition of what a recession was in front of our face, and nobody did anything. Now they said this about China: 30% of all stocks in China have been halted. The index slid 8%. The Beijing 50 slid 5%. If he talked about China, I can see it. But even that, because of all the geopolitical threats that are going on, and we're starting to have like a deglobalization effect. If China market does fall 50%, we won't have immediate exposure to it. And it won't drag our market down. The Nikkei's doing well. The FTSE's doing pretty well. So I feel as if he would have pointed this crash to the Chinese stock market, he could have been spot on.
Yeah.
But to drive our market down 50%.
That's tough. You look at
before an election.
Yeah.
All the student loans will be eliminated.
Right. All those factors, when you put into the pot, it's like, well, how is this going to happen, right? We even talked about that. Like, look at the economic conditions. And probably maybe mid-year last year, when you talk about delinquencies, those were up. That has changed. We talked about used car and new car sales. Yeah. That has changed. And so we're talking about student loans. That's now in effect. We haven't seen the number of delinquencies that we thought we would. Could that change? Perhaps, but is it going to happen in the short term? Like, we're talking, we only got 30 days until
March. Here's how you know why. Last week, they put out a stat that I think 89% of all the global debt is on a fixed rate. Why would they put that out? Well, if it was a variable rate, you could have a case. But if the majority of auto loan debt, mortgages, and credit card debt are locked into a fixed rate, then you can predict delinquency rates when people will pay it off. Like, I just think the comment was misguided. I think he means well. Peter Schiff is another one that reports some doom and gloom. There's a lot of truth to what Peter says. But the government is going to do everything in combination at the right time, especially with BRICS becoming more formidable. Saudi just joined. They are going to make sure that we don't have this big collapse where it could actually turn the tide. Because if we go into a 24-25 cycle while we're on the ropes and BRICS is getting stronger, that's when they could begin to make a stronger push. They're not going to let a recession happen, not this next year, and definitely not by next month.
They're on the clock.
So he would say stuff like this just to kind of sell his book, or just
this is the Queen Flip approach. Flip, I love you, but sometimes online people want to be sensational to get the clicks and views.
But wouldn't this hurt? Like, let's say hypothetically that the market doesn't crash, right? What does he say? Like, I miscalculated, or is the government
saying for the last 3 years? Well, it's going to come eventually. There's a lot of people if you are familiar with investing, you have doom and gloom reports and newsletters that have been predicting crashes since 2009. They haven't happened. Of course, COVID, we had a strong pullback. Quantitative easing went through the roof. You've had separate markets that have had issues. Inflations have gone incredibly high in certain countries. But there's a certain, if you're not educated, it's a certain sector of people that you can target, especially in this conspiracy wing, that you believe that a market is going to crash. Even after they revealed Zuckerberg's bunker, everyone was like, hey, go get colloidal silver, go build a bunker. I'm going to go get 2,000 pounds of beans. I'm like, man, if a meteor hits Earth, there's nothing we can do. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if he's wrong, I don't know if there's a consequence for it, right? We've seen
if he's right, I'll come on here, shave off my head, and eat a turtle live.
A live turtle. Yeah. I remember seeing it.
It's not going to happen.
2007, I think you were there. We sat down and we watched him speak about nickel being the commodity of the future. And how, you know, we needed to invest in it in 2000. And this is like 2007. Now it has, almost 15 plus years past that. Nickel hasn't been the commodity of the future, nor anywhere near it. To make a prediction and not be right about it, I feel like that's just like the standard. And the thing is that you don't even have to speak about it. You can say, all right, I was wrong, and move on.
What's the sexier take?
Make a new one.
The market is going to crash. It's the worst crash ever. Or get a safe 12 to 13% growth per year by investing in index funds. The crash always sounds, and for all my traders, most assets, whether it's real estate, stocks, media, if you do it right, water, oil, gold. I'll save that for the blackout, the other line I was going to say. But most commodities go up to the upside. Even in the destruction of civilizations and countries, when you there's no more real estate to buy, let me knock some buildings over, and then I go over there and reinvest in that. Most assets go up in super cycles, 20 to 40 years. I talked to the stock club about this 2 weeks ago. Even calling for a crash, most crashes only last 18 months after they happen. The real money is holding on for the long term. He's pro-crash, but pro-gold. Gold is going to the upside.